you're a California conservative, a libertarian, a moderate Democrat, believe in common sense, or just a sane person, this is the political podcast for you. It's the California Underground Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. I'm your host, Phil. As always, with me and my trusty co-host, the best and fastest researcher in the West, Camille. How are you doing tonight, Camille?
I would normally say fine, but we have to talk about Newsom again. So I don't know.
Yeah, this is your favorite when we get to talk about Newsom.
Absolute favorite.
Even better, you get to talk about, or you get to watch a whole interview.
Yeah, which I already watched.
Which you already watched, but I'm good. I'm much better than I was last week. I'm still kind of recovering. I got a little bit of a cough, so I apologize if I don't hit the mute button fast enough to mute myself during coughing. But a lot better than last week. Thanks to John Dillon, who was on, for just absolutely carrying the episode last week, because I was barely making it through, and I was like, dear God, just let me get through this hour. I was watching the hour tick by minute, so, but we made it, so.
Here we are.
It was one of those episodes. Did it for the fans because I was away for a couple weeks. I was away in Europe, so if that's where people were wondering where I was.
Humble brag.
Humble brag. I don't like to tell people where I am before. I'd rather tell people afterwards. But the one thing, this is kind of getting off topic.
Okay.
The one thing I noticed in Europe, now I was in Spain. The one thing we noticed, no masks. No masks anywhere. Like, people were just not wearing masks in Europe. Which is surprising, because you think the whole Europe, like, they locked down, they did everything. Like, you would think, like, they were mask crazy over there. I see more masks here in Southern California than we did over in Spain. So that's just interesting to me that there wasn't that many masks. Also, I don't want to take a victory lap yet. We did have a full episode on whether Alex Jones was going to be right or not. Flew all the way to Europe. No mask requirement. No vaccine passport. Nobody checked our papers or anything like that. TSA had nothing to do with any of that. So far, I haven't seen the whole TSA mandates and stuff like that come back. So
there again, was no requirement for you. You didn't have to have a negative COVID test to fly back.
No, nothing. Nobody asked me about COVID our entire trip. So. I like I said, I don't want to take a victory lap yet, but this might be one of those cases where people, you know, rage farmed and got all their clicks and likes and stuff on social media by sharing Alex Jones. And you know, 3 or 4 months on, people will forget all about it and be like, what? No, we never said that was going to happen in 3 to 4 months.
I have screenshots, people. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, if there's anyone who keeps receipts, it's Camille. So for all those people who are like, we never said Alex Jones said that we're going to go back to lockdowns in 3 to 4 months. Well, we got receipts. All right. But that's not the point of tonight's episode, is to talk about Europe and lockdowns and COVID stuff. Instead, we're going to talk about the country that started COVID and Mr. Newsom going to
that
country. Yeah. We're still on YouTube. We're still live on YouTube. And he decided he was going to go over to China just out of the blue. It just felt kind of out of the blue. Like, all of a sudden he was over in China. Like, there was no announcement that he was going over to China, that this was something in the works. Like, I think he announced when he was going over to Israel because, you know, people are dying and there's horrible warfare going on. So the first thing Gavin Newsom thinks is, this is a great opportunity for me to go over and get some photo ops and look like a president. And now he's going over to China.
If there's anything that Israel needs right now, it's Gavin Newsom.
Right. Yeah. And his leadership and his hair gel. So Yeah, never to miss an opportunity for presidential photo ops. I mean, I can see all of this is going to be in like a presidential ad in the future, whether it's next year or in 2028. I can imagine a lot of this is going to be like stock footage for him, like Gavin Newsom leading the way, you know, leading the way together, whatever his campaign slogan is going to be. Him sitting with Xi Jinping and going to Israel and doing all these trips. And then falling on that kid playing basketball. Hopefully that's in his campaign ad as well. But this is all, I mean, this is all part of his soft campaign to run for president. Like, this has nothing to do with California. He's trying to pretend it has a lot to do with California, but it's absolutely 100% a soft campaign to run for president. What do you think?
Well, yes, I agree. I mean, I think we're pretty much all in agreement with this. Even the Democrats are like, yeah, he's going to run for president. Even if it's not now, it's next time. And so, yes. Are you frozen?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. So I have like an initial thought. You didn't ask me my initial thoughts, but I'm going to share one. And I only just thought of this morning, so I'm allowed to change my mind on this. But until today... Okay, so I'm not a climate change denier. Climate change happens, but I don't believe climate change in the sense of like what people like, you know, it was global warming and then it's global cool. Like the climate's changing. Certainly, like I don't think that most people are going to dispute that, at least like most people with a brain. But of course, I think you and I both believe that like, well, people and cows are not causing this climate change that's, you know, so-called. And so until today, believed that there were these politicians that truly did believe that the climate is changing and that it's people's fault. And all of a sudden it struck me, they're just, these politicians cannot fix the issues, don't want to fix the issues. I don't know what it is that are actually back at home that they need to be working on and fixing and what they were elected to do. And so climate change is just one big distraction. And I'm sorry, because I don't like to be that person that says, oh, it's just a distraction. What are they distracting us from? But as of this morning, I'm like, no, climate change is literally, it is their thing. It is like, they want to go down in history as being like, they fought for climate change. Meanwhile, I won't even start on all the issues that are going on here. I mean, we've listed them a million times and I'm sure we'll get to them throughout the episode. So I won't go there, but it's like Gavin took off to China to like, because this state is like an absolute, I'll bleep myself whole, but like they're so, and Gavin is doing nothing to fix them. And so why not be like, I am going to fight climate change with China and leave.
A country that produces more carbon than like we could ever hope to reduce our carbon footprint. Like it doesn't matter what we do.
I sent you an article, I think, that they're like ranked 25th in the world for pollution.
Yeah. Well, climate change, along with, you know, the next big scary thing has always been, you're right, it's always the big, it's the big crusade. It's the big political crusade that politicians latch onto because it gets people emotional, gets people fired up, and it gets people to kind of hand over power and their rights to the government to just kind of continue running with their agendas and to strip you of your rights and all of that. I mean, it was for a while, it was terrorism, then it's climate change, then it's COVID. Now we're back to climate change. So there's always this big overarching like crisis that politicians have to solve, and it requires you giving up a lot of your rights and obviously your money and taxes and stuff like that. But climate change is always their go-to, it's always their fallback, it's the number one thing that they always do, and it's just this fuzzy kind of like, well, what is climate change? How are we defining climate change? Like, I think we're both on the same page, like you said. The climate does change. That's statistically provable. They can show, like, the climate has changed throughout thousands and thousands of years. The question is, how much has man contributed to the climate changing is a whole different story, and there's a lot of debating points of view on that. And that's where we're going. So I think it's this fuzzy science that politicians like to use to scare people into giving them more power and obviously more money. And the fact that he's going over to China to kind of try and work on climate change is odd because they're one of the worst polluters in the entire world. But we can get into it and start kind of delving into it. Then we'll kind of finish and round off the episode with his interview with Alex Michelson. They did not bring any professional equipment, I can tell, to record that. It looked like
you
they kind of recorded
on me.
It.
There you are.
I keep freezing on you?
Yeah.
Well, my video looks just fine. So I don't know whose end it is.
Okay.
It might be your house with everybody okay. streaming or playing multiplayer games or whatever. Okay. So he released a press release after he just got back. The governor's, it said, what Governor Newsom's trip to China accomplished. And this was sent out Monday. What you need to know, Governor Newsom's trip to China was about delivering real climate action and creating opportunities for future collaboration and cooperation. So there you go. It's the climate change and collaboration. According to Gavin Newsom, the governor's meetings with Chinese leadership resulted in a first of its kind declaration by China and California to cooperate on subnational climate action. Again,
oh, that's what I've been waiting for.
I've been waiting for more China action to work with California.
Historical moment.
Excuse me. On this trip, California signed 5 memorandums of understanding with China's National Development and Reform Commission, the provinces of Guangdong and Jiangsu. I'm sorry if I completely butchered those, and municipalities of Beijing and Shanghai. Just so everyone's clear, a memorandum of understanding has literally no binding legal effect on anybody. It is literally memorializing that you agree on something or that maybe you like something, but it doesn't mean that California and China are in some like private treaties. Only the president and the Senate have the ability to make those treaties. So they mean nothing. So China could sign all the memorandums of understanding that they want. It doesn't mean they're actually going to do anything about it. It just means they have entered this whatever memorandum of understanding. Over the next 2 months, leadership from CARB and the California Energy Commission plan to attend the World New Energy Vehicle Conference in China. And California officials plan to engage Chinese counterparts at APEC in San Francisco and COP28 in Dubai. So great. More bureaucrats are going to fly around the world and get international trips on California taxpayer dimes. So good for us that we are funding international travel and that we're going to fund and send a whole bunch of bureaucrats over to China and talk about the climate.
How are they getting there? Are they walking? Are they, you know, like, how are they going to make sure that they don't pollute the world?
Well, they will take, I'm sure, a jet plane that burns off fuel and carbon. But when you do that, when you fly a jet plane in the name of climate change, it negates itself. It's like unicorns. It's magic. That carbon doesn't exist. So like when all the celebrities and everybody show up to those conferences and they talk about climate change and global warming in their private jets, that carbon just, it's neutralized because they're doing a good thing. It's like karma.
So it's like eating while walking on the treadmill.
Yes, like you're burning calories while taking in calories. Exactly.
Okay. So science. I would, on a serious note, like to clear something up real quick because I think I had sent you, well, you and I had actually texted about it. I said, who's paying for this trip that Gavin went on to China? And allegedly there's like a nonprofit that was founded specifically to ease California taxpayers from having to pay these things. And the California, now I have it pulled up somewhere, I think. Hold on. I don't want to say the incorrect name. So it is the California State Protocol Foundation. And I've only somewhat tracked their financials. There's a lot of things going on, but it seems like they do get a lot of big donations from other PACs and nonprofits and stuff. And so if they actually did pay for this China trip, we did not. Anyone's allowed to, you know, find out, correct me on that. Mm. But as far as what I have found so far, taxpayers did not pay for that. But when they do go to that conference in China, that will certainly ban our dime because it's in the name of, you know, California state funded, whatever.
Correct. Yeah, so look forward to that. And just to lighten the mood, because this whole trip was sort of just one long cringe fest. I wanted to pull this up. This was probably the highlight of the trip. Is Gavin Newsom going in, dress shoes, and oh! He grabs a little Chinese boy, gives him a spank on the butt, acting like, oh, that was what I meant to do. Poor little Chinese kid is like, what the heck was, what is this about? Just one more time. Okay, Alex Michelson taking video of the whole thing. He tries to go around the back, through the legs. Oh! I think you could actually hear the kid go, ow.
Yes.
The second time.
I got you.
Watching it through, he does sound like he goes, ow. So.
I know that video's really not important, but can we talk about it?
Yeah, of course.
It's just so, there is nothing wrong with Gavin going out and playing basketball with some kids, okay? Like, we can't really, like, pick on him for that. But the whole thing is just, he runs into the kid, he knocks him over, and the way that he grabs him, he just acts like we were talking about before, it seems like the way he acts like, oh, look, we pulled it off. We did it together. We're in this together. And these kids are probably like, who's this guy? Who invited this old guy dressed like that to come out here and play? And now he's knocking me over. And also yeah. Just like, as a parent, I cringe even more because like if some foreign person, no, I don't mean that like that I'm against foreign people. It's just to me, if like this foreign person who I have no clue who they are, they mean nothing to me. You know, I know that they're like in some office somewhere, but I don't know who they are. And they come and knock over my kid and grab them. I would just be like, get your hands on my kid.
Yeah.
So the whole thing's so weird.
It'd be like the governor of like Quebec, like coming down and like falling all over your kid. You'd be like, yeah. What are you doing here?
I don't care if he's like powerful in some other country. I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, get off my kid. It's so weird. And why are you spanking him on the butt? Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
That was your first reaction, was spank him on the butt. I forgot to show this as well. The first partner, California's first partner, she got in on the action in heels.
In heels, okay.
And she shot around. She did, however, not fall on any kids. So, Let's see. This is from California Globe. Governor Gavin Newsom's trip to China mocked for cringe-inducing moments.
And here we are.
The California Globe obviously holds no punch or pulls no punches. Newsom's trip, sold to the media as a climate-focused tour, was more of a see Gavin Newsom on the international stage, pretending to be an international diplomat tour. His PR team must have been working 24/7 on staged photo ops like this glamour shot and impromptu human moments, as the tweet below shows. It's the basketball video. Rick Grinnell, who is, you know, working hard to fix California, haven't seen anything coming out of him and fix California. He actually had a pretty funny tweet that said, Gavin Newsom has always had really bad judgment, like playing basketball in fancy dress shoes on slippery concrete. Kind of funny. But it goes on to say, Chinese Americans in California become more and more critical of the governor making the trip, as well as outraged that Newsom has not pressed harder on issues ranging from human rights to stopping illegal fentanyl coming into the U.S. Grace Lee, a coordinator of many Chinese clubs and groups in Southern California, added that Newsom's trip there is a disappointment. Him and his trip have come up often in the last week or so. and members from all these organizations are confused as to why he is there. He could have easily worked out deals from California and not go over there and cozy up with the communist government, but he did. Does he realize that this is the same government that is committing genocide against the Uyghur people, that has no freedom of the press, that has blocked most of the internet off, that has bans democratic images? Newsom doing something so callous is mind-boggling. Hold on. Fixing something. Hold, please.
Holding.
Holding. Let's see. This was pretty interesting. BYD, Build Your Dreams. Does that company sound familiar?
You cut out, so I think you just asked me a question.
I said, BYD, does that company sound familiar?
I don't think so. But then you're going to tell me and I'm going to feel dumb.
It goes on to say, perhaps the standout moment of his China visit trip was when Newsom was filmed behind the wheel of the Build Your Dreams company's newest electric vehicle while a California... if BYD rings a bell, you'll recall that Newsom purchased $1.4 billion of masks from Chinese company BYD at outset of COVID pandemic using taxpayer funds. So it was an electric car company that was making masks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he gave him $1.4 billion and then he had to stop over and say hi to him. Probably had to see where all his money was going.
Where did those masks go? Like, did they go to the hospitals? To the healthcare workers? Because, we were required $1.4
billion in masks.
I had
a lot.
To buy my own.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to the store and buy, like, 100 masks now for, like, $5. So, or go on Amazon. I'm sure you can buy a crap ton of masks now. So, what does $1.4 billion in masks look like?
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of mess. So who knows where they went?
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
But it's interesting. It's interesting that an electric car company that had no experience in making masks got a contract for $1.4 billion to make masks. So he must have something going on with BYD. So keep an eye on that in the future. What's his connection with BYD? All right.
I feel like you just challenged me to find it.
I sort of did challenge you to find and keep an eye on BYD and Gavin Newsom. All right. Before we hop into the interview, is there anything that I missed that we need to talk about with his China trip?
Let's see. I have all these articles open that you sent me. I mean, do we really need to talk about the problems here back home? Probably not.
Anybody who listens to this show is well at
they know.
Yeah, I think people who listen to the show are well aware of what's going on in California.
They left the state.
We appreciate our listeners who have left California but tune in anyway because they want to know what's going on in California. We appreciate you, all those people out of staters. Yeah, there was a Politico article I sent you. I didn't really get into it. It was like right before we hopped on about how, people were calling him out for the fact that he basically didn't take Xi Jinping to task on human rights abuses and all that stuff.
Yes.
So,
yes. And this is like they're a country that doesn't allow gay marriage or same-sex couples to adopt, stuff like that. And so... you know, he's so after red states, but yet he's determined to make these relationships with China, who's kind of worse than these red states. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that he's talking about, he always talks about freedom and everyone's liberties and civil rights. And then you go over to China and it's like, well, they have a bunch of their abuses too. And the only thing he could say about China was just how incredible they were and their infrastructure. Oh, there was the thing with the wall. I don't know if we have video of that where there's a photo of him standing on the wall. Then they ask him what it's like to be on the wall. And he said, you know, it's time I want to tear down these walls. And it's like, you want to tear down the Great Wall of China? It's been there for thousands of years. Okay. But it's funny that I think someone pointed out that he was standing on a wall in China that was built to keep people out of China on their border when he hates the wall in California. It's just a whole mess of stuff. Anyway, shall we jump into his interview?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. Let's jump into his interview with Alex Michelson, who was one of the reporters who was granted access to go on this this trip with him. Excuse me.
China, of all places.
Go figure.
Shanghai or is it Beijing?
So we have spent the week together. What do you think is the most important takeaway for you from this whole week?
Well, I think the willingness for the Chinese to embrace the message, not just the messenger. We've been treated extraordinarily well, but the issue of climate change. They wouldn't have met knowing that was the agenda unless they were committed to doing more in this space. And I think that's reflective of the experience we've had this week, the fact that we signed five MOUs, and the fact that President Biden announced as we were here that he'll be meeting with President Xi in California in a few weeks.
Do you think that would have happened if you hadn't had your meeting?
I think it likely would have, but I think this gives a little more momentum. And the fact that we were with a foreign minister in two meetings, and then he got on a plane after the second meeting. He was in with President Xi, myself, and others, and then met with our Secretary of State, and then met with the President to formally announce. There was a continuity, a consistency of the messaging and the engagement as it relates to the meetings we had in terms of the readouts of what we saw in Washington, D.C.
Okay, so let's go into the Xi meeting, because that's the biggest meeting of the week. I was walking in there through this hall, which is like unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And there's like trumpets blaring and there's soldiers walking.
Yeah, they don't screw around.
What's going through your mind? Walk us through that whole
experience. I guess it was what I expected. Just as a student of history, student.
That's contemporary history, sort of the scene that you can expect when you walk into a meeting with a dictator. Over the top, military, trumpets blaring. Yeah, it's over the top. That's what it looks like when you meet with a dictator. So,
it was what I've seen on the screen, though, being there in person and sort of experientially walking in on that red carpet, as we all did, in that Stalin building that was donated to the Chinese
donated
government.
I'm putting that in air quotes.
Taking notes.
What was that? I'm sorry. What was that? What just happened? I'm sorry, folks. What just happened?
My question: do you think he's taking notes for his presidential inauguration? But I'm a little sidetracked right now.
Yeah. Wow. What? I don't even know how to get that to do that again. What was that? Oh my
God. You die.
I'm sorry.
We've lost Bill. He's gone. Don't spit your tea out now.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We got to cut that out, or we'll just leave that in. I made air quotes for those who are watching. What now?
Don't say any of that again. Oh my gosh, it's getting weird.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know there were like special effects you could do on this.
Stop! I feel like you can't even talk now. Like,
oh my gosh, that must have been a new update to our recording software. Anyway.
Should have read the bills.
I was gonna say donated,
right?
Probably more like stolen, taken by force. They were they were not donated. That was definitely taken by force. So, oh my gosh. Anyway, that was the highlight of the episode.
I don't want to say it, but no more. You know what you did.
No air quotes or anything. Okay, let's keep going.
remarkable. It's a structure that exudes power and exudes place, and it's intended to be what it is. It was sort of overwhelming for any visitor. It's a home field advantage, right. I guess. I don't know what it's analogous to.
Well, they say the Oval Office is the greatest home field advantage for the president when somebody walks in there, but I think that might
they're trying to replicate that. But again, there's a familiarity when you see people. I guess it is old adage, but you see people on TV all the time, like, I know you.
Right.
And then you have the opportunity to spend time with someone, and it was surprisingly relaxing.
So let's get into the meeting itself. The points you make, Tishy, talk about climate change.
Yeah.
You also talk about fentanyl.
Yeah.
What'd you say and what was his reaction?
Well, the meeting was niceties first. It was a lot about California. It was about San Francisco, how many times he's visited, three times, vice president, president. And in 1985, his first visit through San Francisco on his way to Iowa, and his memories of San Francisco, particularly the Golden Gate Bridge. So just on the human side, just that softener. And then we got into the issue. The reason I was there around climate change, and he knew that he was certainly prepared. He was well aware of where we were in our previous journey, at least the previous days, of where we were going next. So he was teed up for that, and was very mindful of what that agenda represented to me. And then we transitioned to fentanyl, and I told him personally, this is it's the number one killer. People 1849 in the United States of America. It's taking one life a day in the place that I hope you visit. In San Francisco at APEC in a few weeks, as we transition to the formal invitation, of course, to APEC as the host state governor. But it was an interesting transition, and he was very prepared for that part of the conversation. Well, even though there was no preparation in advance, that I would bring that up.
You didn't pause the issue of human rights directly.
Pause.
He did.
Perfect timing.
What were you saying?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, fentanyl that Gavin Newsom's taking very seriously and has increased the border patrols by 50%. So,
yes, we did cover that.
Newsom is taking it very seriously here at home.
He discussed it, that he was able to transition to that conversation and that, they were prepared to speak about it. But then he doesn't even say, they certainly didn't sign any, memorandums of agreements there, we're going to solve the fentanyl crisis together. It was just like, oh, we talked about it, and then he just moves on. hey, you had an opportunity. There's an issue here. Where are you at, Gavin? Come on.
You brought it up to the foreign minister. You know,
the vice president.
You know, there are folks on both the left.
I
and right
laugh about it. Sure.
By that, you clearly made a strategic choice to do that. What was your thinking there?
Well, with the foreign minister, was in the meeting with Xi. I spent an hour with the foreign minister, and that was the appropriate venue on the basis of the conversations I had with the State Department, and on the basis of the fact that that would be a better place to communicate a more nuanced and detailed explanation of our points of view on the issue of human rights and democracy, on issues related to Taiwan, issues related to international and foreign policy more broadly. And we took the limited time we had with Xi, which we were told would be just 20 minutes. And we had the opportunity to extend it to 45. And I didn't want to miss the opportunity in those 20 minutes to reinforce the...
Not as President of the United States.
Not as President of the United States.
Yet.
Secretary of State.
Just plain President of the United States right now.
But as a governor of one of the largest states and one of the largest economies in the world, to focus on low carbon green growth. And I didn't want to miss that opportunity and moment to influence this foundational agenda, which is bigger than any situational agenda in our lifetime.
I mean, some of the thinking, if you do that, he goes like this and he's not open to anything else.
I had an opportunity to talk about the most important issue in our lives. It's the most important issue. Everything else is situational. This is the most sustainable issue. It's changing everything. And what happens is our mind gets so short-fused on the situation
that
foundational shift.
My mind is so focused on the fact that, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so we're single income, and, my husband's paycheck just doesn't go nearly as far as it used to. And I'm just so focused on that I can't even be like, oh, my God, what are we doing about climate change?
That is really kind of crazy that he says climate change Forget the human rights abuses against the Uyghur Muslims in China.
Situational.
Forget that the concentration camps and the horrible conditions that they're living in. Situational. Not as important as climate change.
Nothing. This is Nothing's the crisis more... of a lifetime.
That might be, I mean, he says he's pretty slick. And I've always said this, give Gavin Newsom credit. He's a slick politician. He's good at what he does. That might be one of the biggest flubs he's ever said publicly, which is to kind of downplay the human rights abuses against the Uyghur Muslims. So to just say, oh, well, that stuff's situational. That's not as important as this. This is everything. Everything comes down to climate change. Okay. You know, you want to talk about the human rights abuses during COVID when they were locking people in their homes? They were literally locking them and
don't focus
barricading.
On that, though.
Don't
How
focus
can you
on
be
that.
So
That's
focused
situation.
On that? Climate change.
This is the most important thing. So he's usually pretty good at being slick at answers. That was a horrible answer. That will probably come back to bite him someday when he runs for president.
Politics change the way we live, change the way we breathe, changing our health patterns, changing our wealth patterns, changing migration around the world. There's no more consequential issue in the world today, long and medium term, and increasingly short term, than the issue of climate change, as important as all those other issues are.
It's been remarkable to see the reaction to you.
Lots of cameras that he probably brought to take plenty of pictures and video.
In every meeting, somebody refers to
Alex. Come on.
That's a little weird.
It's weird.
It's a little weird. What do you think that though has done for U.S.-China relations and China-California relations, maybe tourism?
Although I think it's helped.
I think handsome has helped California tourism. Did I hear that incorrectly?
I guess it's just him being handsome in China has helped California tourism. And we're going to need a lot of it with our $20 billion deficit in the unemployment fund. So get to it, you know, get those, get those tourists over here. Get them some Disneyland passes and get them over here as fast as possible. We need that money.
I feel like he should just like charge for an exhibit and he could probably, you know, if people are like lining up to be tourists in California just to get a glimpse of him, like why doesn't he charge like $5 entrance fee? And he could make billions in a few days.
Probably. It's he's, you know, Alex says he's just
handsome.
He's damn handsome.
So handsome.
And we talk about the United States, it's an abstract, it's an intellectual. It has to be to have a human being attached to these conversations to be able to communicate as human beings and talk about areas of common concern and common humanity. I think it's incredibly powerful. And the fact that I'm the first governor has been here 4.5 years, and the fact that we're talking about the issue that is the issue that will define the fate and future of this planet, and that's the issue of climate change. And to be able to have this kind of access with the vice president, the foreign minister, with every major minister, and have substantive conversations, detailed, nuanced conversations, not just platitudes and photo ops, to sign 5 MOUs that we negotiated.
It took you months to negotiate a document that has literally no legal binding at all.
But now I know how long it's been planning.
Now I wonder why our government's so backwards. It took you months. That's what you were focused on? It took months. Months. It's a one-page document that says, we understand we're going to work together on climate change. Yay. That took months. Jeez. That's embarrassing.
It's extraordinary, and I'm blessed and humbled by it.
Are you concerned, though, that some of those images of you may be used as sort of propaganda by an administration that a lot of people see as repressive and communist?
Well, I mean, I was here 3 prior occasions. You had a bipartisan, you have Republicans and Democrats here just a few weeks ago. Senator Schumer was here. I imagine the same would be said of those meetings. Same will be said about the meeting President Biden will be having with President Xi in the state of California. I mean, the number one training partner, number one, I mean, Californians need to know this. Number one trading partner in America, $1 billion
China.
I mean, it's tourism and trade, and we haven't recovered from the pre-pandemic tourism, and that's for our restaurants, our hotels, our retailers. I want to get that back. So, by the way, 2 million Chinese Americans living in California. I come from San Francisco, Gateway, China, the first and largest Chinatown. I want to get back to that. And look, at the end of the day, with all due respect, I don't want a new Cold War. I don't want to go to war with China. I mean, some people I think really do. I mean, that scares the hell out of me. Think about that. I mean, I mean this. We got to soften the tone and tenor here. And that was the reason I came. I couldn't take the rhetoric.
Wait.
People need to take... We can.
He just said that's the reason I came, was to not get in a war with China. I thought he went to solve climate change and like save the world, because that's the single most important issue. We shouldn't be focusing on other things.
Right. Yeah.
So how dare he focus on a situational maybe war with China?
Yeah, that's situational, Gavin. You can't focus on situational stuff. Climate change is way more important than World War III. I'm disappointed, Gavin. You're not focusing on the big picture here. Oh my God, if I have to hear him say Biden has completed a masterclass one more time. It is such a canned response. Ugh, masterclass. Just a masterclass as president. Unbelievable.
Dealing internationally with China in terms of what he's just done on chips, and that impacts our state as much or more than most states. And I defended that decision. I defended our position as it relates to Taiwan and what's happening and the concerns we have around the Taiwan Straits. And I defended very forcefully what we're doing more broadly on a myriad of other issues. And at the same time, focusing on the areas of agreement so we can advance our common cause.
You know, some of the criticism back home is that China feels like a world away from being back home. And people are concerned about issues like homelessness, concerned about gas prices.
Situational.
Some of the more local concerns.
It's situational. Okay.
Dealing with homelessness.
Climate change is more important. Being in China talking about climate change is way more important than what's going on in California. That's situational stuff. Alex, you're getting off the point here.
Yeah. I feel like you didn't really listen to Gavin the first time.
Yeah.
What do you say to those people?
I don't know. 24/7, 7 days a week, homelessness is the number one to number 10 issue. That's all I focus on. Up until literally the last minute I left here, at the end of a legislative session, signed unprecedented housing and homeless bills.
Just to clarify, Gavin Newsom has admitted that he has spent he's been on this homelessness issue 24/7.
Focused. Said the word focused.
He's been focused on it 24/7. It is top topic number 1 through 10. And with all that effort and focus, it's only gotten worse. So,
but also, that's just situational. I'm sorry to keep pounding that point, but remember that this climate change is the single most important crisis of our lifetime.
Yep.
Don't focus on other things. They're situational. He told us that 5 minutes ago.
You know, people dying of fentanyl in California, situational.
Situational?
Not important.
An order of magnitude, the most significant mental health reforms in California's history that we'll be placing on the ballot. Taking a few days after a legislative session when the entire legislature is on vacation or out of town, after a remarkably successful year where we were able to focus on those issues in nuance and detail to advance the cause of climate and partnership and trade and investment in our state, to focus on the issues of reinvigorating these relationships, I think is a pretty good use of time.
A couple of the climate things you talked about, and one that I think is really interesting, is this idea of launching satellites. California is about to be in the satellite business within the next month to be able to detect methane from space. Talk about why that's important, what that's going to be like.
Well, there's no other subnational. Again, California is a unique place. We have a unique status. I've been in 5 years, I think it's, I don't know that any other governor's been out of the country less than I have. I've only been on two trips.
I mean, again, call me crazy. I think if you're the governor of a state in the United States of America, there's not really any reason for you to go on a out of the country trip.
Yeah, I mean, you're on a vacation.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you I would say, okay, vacation's fine. Like, if you want to take your vacation, you want to go somewhere, that's fine. And, you know, Gavin had his share. He went to Mexico during COVID, and then he stayed at that villa owned by a Russian oligarch also during COVID. But that's besides the point. But, like, official trips, like, they're going out of the state to go do other things, like, in different countries on official business. I don't know why governors do that. Yeah, there's no reason for you to... Yeah, there's nothing legally you can do. Like, there's nothing, you can't enter into any agreements. You can't do anything. So it's literally just for show, and it's just for pictures. So the fact that he's bragging about, well, I haven't been out of the country as governor, like, this is only my second time. Okay. You're governor of a state. You should be in the state working on solving the problems in that state.
Yeah, El Salvador and here. And I think primarily that's because of the pandemic. So this is not typical.
I mean, you've gone on some of the other states and democracy tours.
Is that part of the job of being governor? Going to other states and lecturing them on their policy? Is that part of the job of being a governor?
I have no idea. I literally missed that part in my government class. So
yeah, I don't think that's part of being governor, is to go to different states and lecture them on what they're doing wrong.
The governors consistently overseas. You saw that with Schwarzenegger, Brown, you've seen it with all the other administrations. My point is to make the point that it is limited, and it's time-served, and it's focused on moments that I think matter and issues that matter, climate change. But a subtext of that is what you're suggesting, is that we are, as a state, doing what nations do, and that's launching satellites. So we'll have a constellation of 8 satellites. We put $100 million approved by the legislature in the budget. To address the potency and power of addressing fundamentally and mitigating issues around detection and mitigation.
I have no idea what the heck he's talking about. Doing that, the detection of methane?
Yeah, from space. Okay. The satellites.
I'm going to skip ahead because I know you made some notes, so let's skip ahead.
Okay.
Because he's talking about cow farts and stuff like that. I'm not really
interested. I mean, it's just quick, but like 12 minutes, 26 seconds.
12 minutes, 26 seconds. Okay.
Every critical category at AI, we dominate on innovation and entrepreneurialism, on patents, the finest system of higher education on planet Earth. We're leading the world on carbon. Strategies to reduce carbon and change the way we produce and consume energy. And it's really a point of pride, and we want to export that, and we want to import new.
He's talking about California leading the way.
Our dominance.
Sorry, I probably had to go a second too late, but he basically said California is leading the nation in every critical area, and then he starts naming all these areas. Meanwhile, we're technically failing in every critical area, but...
Well, he's saying we're leading in these like fuzzy science areas, but you know, like,
well, great, but what good is that when our students are failing and our population is becoming more and more broke and homeless and poor and crime is out of control and we're all going to be shot to death anyway? But at least science.
We're leading in other bad categories too. In terms of poverty and unaffordability and housing prices and gas prices and leading right to the bottom when it comes to passing grades at school. So we're leading a lot of other categories too, but he doesn't want to talk about those. He talks about the fuzzy stuff like carbon and AI and stuff like that and satellites to track cow farts. Okay, let's jump to 15. This was another bookmark.
Yeah.
So the fact that there hasn't been as much communication between the two countries because of COVID and because of the politics of COVID afterwards.
Yeah.
You've thought about a lot what we did right and what we did wrong, because there could be another pandemic when you're governor and you got to do this again. What do you think was the biggest lesson learned in terms of what we did wrong that maybe you would do differently the next time around?
I'm not consumed by what we did wrong. I'm consumed a little bit more by what we did right. I mean, we led the nation in terms of, there's no large state that outperformed California, one of the top performing states in terms of health, wealth, and education. Let me be specific about that. On a per capita basis, the number of people lost.
Didn't we debunk this and say that that's not true at all?
Mm-hmm.
Did we? Yeah.
Yeah. Tweeting to again.
No, I just know. I feel like I'm like, yeah, I think I'm pretty sure we debunked this.
We're last in education. So
yeah, I don't know why he keeps saying we're top in education. Like, anybody can just Google California rankings.
And of course, you can't, you know, miss the opportunity to bring up Florida. And it's like, no, Florida's still beating us at these things. They're still ahead of us. So
yeah.
In wealth, we contracted at a smaller rate in 2020. We expanded at a faster rate our economy in 2021, and we had less learning loss than states like Florida and elsewhere. So we outperformed the rest of the nation in that respect. I think we should acknowledge that. Number two, we also acknowledge at the time we didn't know what we didn't know, and we're experts, we're geniuses. In hindsight, though, I'm not sure that we're as smart as we could be, because we've never really done the kind of exercise of humility and accountability to really look back. Right now, the only things that have been done to look back on what could have been done better or smarter are done in a partisan lens, save what we're trying to do in California. I led an effort about 9 months ago, maybe it was a year ago, down in Sunnylands, brought world experts. We interviewed people around the world about California's approach to COVID. We said, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? Convened for 3 days with these world leading experts. And we have a report that we're looking forward to publishing on areas where we could improve to substantively answer that question, not emotionally answer that question, through an objective lens, not a partisan.
And some of it, I mean, schools shut down too long.
I mean, in certain parts of the state, in certain parts of the state.
No,
of the
just world, here we go.
We gave local control.
We gave local control.
Did we?
Did we, Gavin? Did you give local control, or did you run California from Sacramento? Because that's what it looked like you did in COVID. I mean, we don't want to beat a dead horse here. We've talked about COVID and his policies, but he certainly didn't give local control to schools. Mm-mm. It was very much, here's what the California Department of Health says. You have to meet these standards. If you don't meet these standards, then guess what? You don't get to go back to school. And most schools didn't come close and never reopened during COVID or went back to person. So,
and he's still there was trying to take away local control from schools.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. Ironically, he's talking about we gave back local control, but he doesn't like local control when it goes against his agenda or his political philosophy. That local control is bad.
System, the local control funding formula, it's a constitutional
construct. No,
it allows socialism.
And when this idea of localism, it's great. I mean, if he really is advocating the idea of localism and a constitutional system that he's advocating, sure. I've said this before. I've said that California should be run like its own little country. Each county should be run like its own state, and we should have more local control, and there should be little governors of these counties and stuff like that. And basically, that's how we should be run. That's never been Gavin Newsom's philosophy, though. That's never been a California Democrat's philosophy in here in California. When they had the supermajority, they basically shoved Bay Area policies down the rest of our throats, whether we want it or not. Gavin Newsom shoves his policies down our throats, whether we want it or not. He doesn't believe in local control. He doesn't believe in local elected officials making decisions for themselves, as we've seen with school boards. So at the end of the day, he does not believe in localism. He believes in a top-down mentality where all the power comes from a centralized Sacramento, and the rest of us just have to bend a knee to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So no. He does not believe in localism. He does not believe in that sort of
And we did not structure. Advance it.
No, he definitely did not advance any sort of localism.
have command and control. So the question is, do we want to shift that policy and allow a dominant force in Sacramento to determine the fate of local school districts without that local control? In some cases?
He must have been tired or something, because this is not one of his best interviews. He's been just giving bad answer after bad answer. What? I'm sorry. You did you just literally say you don't want a dominating force from Sacramento telling local school districts what they can and cannot do? I'm sorry. Is that what you just said?
Indeed, okay. He did.
With all the stuff that's going on right now, that's what he said, is that he doesn't think a dominating Sacramento power presence should not be pushing the local school boards. Okay, well, keep that energy when you come back and local school boards vote for parental notification policies and you don't throw a fit or have your attorney general file lawsuits against them. So just keep that same energy, Newsom.
Cases, it was, yes, they waited too long. In other cases, they didn't. But the point is this. If the purpose was to keep people in schools because we wanted to aid in their learning, it's an interesting fact, isn't it, that states like Florida are out there saying we opened up earlier, and yet they did worse in academic achievement. They had more learning loss in every single
Lies.
Category. Fourth grade reading, fourth grade math, eighth grade reading.
Lies.
Forgive me. In that category, we tied in every
Just lies.
Their students. Fared worse than in California. These are facts, and that's why this is not an emotional topic. We have to, I think, come out of this with a sense of humility. Absolutely. I'm not naive about things we could have done differently or better, but also a little grace that California tended to do a little bit better than most other states.
Before you came here, you were in Israel. You met with Bibi Netanyahu. What was that meeting like? What did you say?
I flew. And I know a lot of you are anxious about landing in Tel Aviv. We've secured as much protection as possible. It's cover of night. It's very dark into the city. We landed and met with the president, met with the foreign minister, met with families, including members from Los Angeles. Met with a family that I had met prior in California with American citizen. It's now still held hostage, 23-year-old. Young man, and it was very intense. And
did he go from Israel straight to China? Was that the route he took? Or am I getting that wrong?
First. No, I think Israel was first because he just got back from China on Sunday.
Yeah, he went to Israel first.
In and around the what is in essence the war room. With the prime minister. And that's a surreal experience in the midst or in the middle of a war. And we flew out 12 hours later, flew into Cyprus, flew into Athens, flew into London, and made my way out to Hong Kong. It's been quite a week.
What'd you say to Netanyahu?
Well, I mean, I listened more than I said. I did say this.
We're what?
The next couple of days.
What?
Before I left Israel.
Why is California sending anything? Do I have to say this again? $20 billion deficit in the unemployment fund that there is literally no answer for. What supplies, Gavin? What supplies could you possibly be sending? Is it the leftover mass? Yeah, jinx. It's the leftover mass from BYD, your buddies over in China. Is that what you're sending them? Because what could California possibly be sending to Israel that they need? That the federal government's not already sending in boxes and billions of dollars.
Yeah, but like, and it's here now.
That's what they needed. They needed him for a morale booster.
Like we talked about earlier, like Israel was like, if only Gavin were here. And then he's like,
if only they sent over the real president. And then they did. And Gavin was there. All right. Is there anything else that we need to touch upon? I think he's kind of getting off topic of what he was doing in China.
No, I just made fun of the diving with sharks thing.
You brought that up, that he was diving with sharks and environmentally that like, what is that, ruin the environment or like their ecosystem or something?
Yeah. Like, I mean, according to environmentalists, that like, that's like a, it disrupts their breeding. And it's just, so I just laughed because this whole thing has been about climate change. And then he's like, yeah, I took the opportunity to go diving with sharks. Guess you didn't, guess no one told you that was, you know, supposedly a, something you don't do if you care about the environment.
And remember, it's the number one issue and everything else is situational.
I know.
So don't ask him about anything else. All right. Final thoughts about Mr. Newsom's trip to China. You want to go first?
Or shall I? Flying cars. Haven't we been talking about flying cars for like 60 years? No, like 100 years.
Yeah, he went and talked. He went to this factory that was producing. Well, he went to the Tesla factory, and then he also went to this factory. He went to the Tesla factory, and he was expecting that they're going to be driverless flying cars soon. However, the California Department of Motor Vehicles revoked permits for driverless vehicle testing operated by the rideshare company Cruise following multiple incidents. So,
right, and then you know those flying cars will have to be battery operated, and that's the issue that they're having with airplanes is batteries are too heavy.
Yeah.
So
and what do you do with batteries when they run out of their juice?
Yeah.
You put them in the ground and hope that it doesn't create problems years later. Yeah, so my final thoughts, you want to go first or shall I?
No, I think that's my final thoughts. You go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the same that I started off with. Obviously, this is just more photos and videos and more building up his cred for he can run for president. You know, as soon as he won re-election, it was so evident that he just did not care anymore about being governor of California. And at this point, he's just reaching for the next brass ring in his political career, and that's obviously the presidency. So we can look forward to the next, how many more years until he's out? 3 years? Because he just got reelected.
26. Yeah.
Yeah. So 3 more years until he's out. It's going to be more of this. It's going to be more of him being an absentee governor. He was like this as a lieutenant governor, too. There were a lot of people who called him out for the fact that he was kind of an absentee lieutenant governor. And he didn't really actually do his job. But this is going to be him for the next 3 years. If he doesn't run for president next year, if he isn't shoved into it. So memorandums of understanding, they're great photo ops. They don't mean anything. They don't do anything. These Chinese officials probably laughed on their way out of the room saying like, who was this guy and why do we care who he is? We're not going to listen to him anyway. He has no power outside of being governor of California. So yeah, it looked like a lot of pomp and circumstance was thrown for him, which is pretty impressive. There were dinners and there were meetings and he got to meet the president and there was, you know, people following him all over, taking photos because as Alex Michelson said, he's so darn handsome. That's why everybody in China just fell all over him. So end of the day, I think he's trying to obviously build his presidential cred, but I think it also long-term is not going to resonate with swing voters in swing states. I think something like this, when California is suffering, looks horrible. And I think political opponents will just run with this. They will be like, you know, Gavin Newsom, when crime was on the rise and people were being shot in the street and robbed and there was fentanyl and all these issues and gas is over $7 a gallon, where was Gavin Newsom? And they'll just show a picture of him hanging out with Xi Jinping.
Knocking over
Gavin Newsom was hanging out with the CCP and playing basketball and falling over little Chinese boys. And that's going to be ammo for those swing states and middle America. So it's not going to play well. All in all, I think I'm pretty honest. I think this was a major political blunder on his part. I think it looks horrible. Just comes off really, really bad. Focus on your state. solve the issues here if you want to run for president, because running for president when your state is on a, you know, an absolute dumpster fire right now, not a good look. So I guess those are my final thoughts.
Yeah, I guess California is so bad, even Gavin doesn't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, even he's like, man, I don't even want to be here anymore. I'm out. Like, he was just counting the days. He's like, legislative session's over. I'm out, guys. Like, I'm out of here. I'm going to hitch a plane to Israel. I'd rather go to a war-torn Israel than be in California right now. That's his kind of, that's his outlook on California right now. There was an article I found. I didn't actually get past the paywall, but I wanted to see what the lieutenant governor was up to, because she's running the state, or she was running the state. I get to see what that was. Obviously nothing big. I haven't really heard about it. So, yeah, that's basically it. Mr. Newsom's trip to China, political blunder. It's not going to look good. Going to be horrible play in the swing states and independent voters. All right. So I think that's our episode for tonight. Any other thoughts before we sign off?
No, I'm good.
I apologize. I have no idea how I made balloons and confetti pop up in my camera. Can I do it again? It was like, maybe
say,
it might be a max.
Say air quotes. You have to like do and say air quotes.
Air quotes. Air quotes. It was weird. I don't even know how to do it anymore. It just caught me off guard. I had no idea. Anyway, that's our show for tonight. If you like it, make sure you like, share, subscribe, review, subscribe on Rumble, subscribe on YouTube, bump those numbers up, help us in the, get us up there in the algorithm, comment, like, and all that stuff that helps with the algorithm. And the best thing you can do, which is absolutely free to support the show, share it with a friend. So with that, we'll say good night. Later, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of California Underground. If you like what you heard, remember to subscribe, like, and review it, and follow California Underground on social media for updates as to when new episodes are available.